So what have I been up to over the last week or so, and what's been going on in the news? Bit of an update episode, this one. Hey, this is Richard. Welcome to the Pandemic Startup. So, what's been going on in the world over the last few days? Are we up to a week? I'm not sure. Bloody hell, this is meant to be every day, and I've really slacked off from that. But hey-ho, it's my podcast, my rules. Work is going pretty well. I've got a really exciting client doing some great work, actually, for the planet, for helping to build a zero carbon future. The client's called Carbon Capture, Capture with a K. I'm going to talk a bit more about them, I think, on a later podcast, and really promote these guys, because the work that they/we are doing is really interesting. It's to do with planting forests of kelp offshore. Kelp, the seaweed, the big flat stuff that you see washed up on the beach, or if you go out snorkeling around British coasts, around the world, in fact. And the really good thing about kelp is, well, there's a few things. One is that it absorbs carbon from the ocean, carbon dioxide, so that's good. It absorbs carbon. Is it carbon dioxide? It uses it to photosynthesize. Photosynthesize, if I put my teeth back in right, and captures the carbon from the ecosystem in the same way that a plant would on land, but just from the water. So that's really cool, because that's the same sort of idea as planting forests of trees on the land to absorb carbon dioxide. You know, we need more green things absorbing the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. But the really cool thing with kelp is that it grows very, very quickly. The sort of kelp and bamboo are about the fastest growing plants. So a kelp, you know, an area of kelp, if you plant it within 6 months, is fully grown, fully absorbing carbon dioxide, whereas a tree might take 20 to 30 years. So the team are working on formalising the numbers and being able to issue carbon credits to people, but it's such an exciting project, and I'm absolutely stoked to be involved, to be on board with this, and to have them as a client. They're a client, but I'm also part of the team, I guess. It's very much an innovative, fast-moving, exciting and fun small team, just the sort of thing that I like to be part of. So if you're on LinkedIn or online, go and check out Carbon Capture. It's carbon spelt normally, capture with a K, or carboncapture.org is the website. Fantastic company and a really interesting new project that I'm getting involved with. I've got other clients as well, and the nice thing is that I'm about to kick off a job this week with a new client. I've got clients that I'm doing work with in coaching who are thoroughly enjoying doing that, actually. Really enjoying working with client teams and passing on some knowledge that I've got in sales, business development, connecting with new people, and helping them to boost their own skills in that. It really gives me a buzz. And invoices are getting paid, so that's good. There's money coming into the business. On the business front, on the whole, it's going very well. I think from January onwards, that's going to really be the crunch, because there's still a bit of the redundancy money left. I've kind of made that last pretty well. But there's money coming into the business now. So pretty much January is going to be the point at which this business has got to stand on its own 2 feet and put back or beat what I was earning as a salary beforehand. But that's scary, but that's also pretty cool. It's very empowering to be so in control of my own destiny, I guess. That's an important point, actually. The important point about being a startup, about being a freelancer, or at least the CEO of a small business, is you can do things so much faster. When I've been in the big corporate world and you want to do something like put a marketing message out or put some advertisements out, sometimes that can happen quite quickly, but sometimes it has to sit as part of an overall marketing plan, and then really nice materials have to be produced, but that takes time. And for all good reasons, but things can take a lot of time because there's a lot of people involved and a lot of people's budgets involved and conflicting priorities and so on. In a small business, if you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. And that really gives me a buzz, because sure, there are disadvantages to small businesses compared to larger ones, but one of the big advantages is how fast we can move, how fast we can pivot, how fast we can respond to changing markets, to our clients, and so on. If, for the sake of argument, I decided next year that I wanted to pivot my business in a more specific direction, or even, and I'm sure this isn't going to happen, but a completely different direction, I can do that. I can do it with the same set of skills, the same tools, techniques that I'm using to set this business up and just go in another direction if I need to or if I want to. That's really exciting. That being able to turn the ship around so quickly is not something that a big company can do. There are disadvantages. I get that. It's pretty high risk. A lot of small businesses fail. That isn't lost on me, but you have to look at the advantages. You have to make leverage of the advantages the best that you can. And that's what I'm trying to do. And on the whole, enjoying it. Yeah, there's tough days. Yeah, there's down days. But on the whole, it's pretty good. What else has been going on? Well, there's an awful lot in the news at the minute about this Pfizer vaccine, Pfizer and BioNTech. That is tremendous news. That the fact that they have got a vaccine now through, admittedly, using emergency measures to get the approval or approved for emergency use, but through MHRA approval. And the lady in charge of the MHRA gave a really clear press briefing earlier today, or possibly yesterday, but I saw it this morning, saying, yes, we have tested this enough, we approve this for use. And there are all of the usual, like, wake up sheeple, how have they got it through so quickly, blah, blah, blah. Has, like, thalidomide is now trending because people say, has nobody learned from thalidomide? Yes, they have. That's the whole reason, or one of them, that we have the robust drug testing process that we have. Very little testing was done on thalidomide. Two, it wasn't designed for morning sickness. That, I think that was something they found that it treated, so they used it for that. Three, it wasn't a vaccine. Completely different development process to creating a vaccine. So very few parallels from thalidomide. And yes, to answer those incredibly persistent but annoying people, we have learned from that. We have heard of that in the life sciences industries. And I'm not working in life sciences at the moment, but I have, and I would again, and it's an industry I very much care about, and an industry that we're really bloody good at in the UK, actually, I have to say. So I care about it. That's why I'm so passionate about it, and also passionate about there not being misinformation around this stuff. So that's one. And there was a great post, actually, a really good thread on Twitter recently about people querying, well, how have they managed to do it so quickly? How can you, normally takes years, how can they do it so quickly? And the straight up answer from somebody who really knew their stuff, you know, this guy was at the forefront of developing some of the vaccines, is normally it takes such a long time to develop vaccines because you have to apply for funding and you have to court government bodies and you have to find volunteers and you have to basically get enough people to care about the development of the vaccine you're developing to move things forward. A lot of people care about this vaccine. There's a lot of momentum behind it. So funding has not been an issue. Access to research facilities has not been an issue. Access and people coming forward to volunteer for tests has not been an issue. So that has wiped years off the development of this product. It's that. That's where. It's all that lost, that shitty non-value-adding time. It's a perfect exercise in improving efficiency, in getting leaner. This is the whole science behind lean manufacture. Find out what is not necessary and get rid of it. Don't look at speeding up the existing operations that you have to do yet. Find the wasted activity and get rid. Just like a Formula One car change. You don't find the car zipping into the pits in Formula One and have them going, hang on a sec, we'll run into the back for the tyres and let's just check that we can remember which tyres to put on. Let's go and find the tool that we need. All of that, what you call external activity, gone. Eradicated. This is how you can change the tyres on an F1 car in 2 seconds flat. Then you've got the technology. Then you look at the processes you actually must do and speed those up. But there's always, always, when you look at SMED, single minute exchange of dye, when you look at any sort of lean work, and speeding up the manufacture of a vaccine is nothing more than a lean project, you will always find far bigger hits, far more low-hanging fruit, as they say, in the external wasted effort first, before you even need to look at speeding up the process that must happen to develop the product, in this case a vaccine. So, and that's where they've set up, and I'm glad, and I'm really glad that there are people out there spreading the truth and counteracting the bullshit that's out there. But it's good to see, and I really hope that it is rolled out without cocking it up. I really hope that this is a great boost for, I know Pfizer are not a UK company, but a great boost for the UK life sciences industry. There are other vaccines being developed by UK companies or UK-based scientists. This needs to be a great boost for our life sciences sector because we're really good at this. We've got a long history in life sciences. We've got some fabulous companies and research facilities in life sciences and gene therapies and all sorts. So it's going to be great for the UK in development and in manufacture. I'm quite enthused by it. So that's the state of my business. That's my view on the current state of the vaccine. Will I have it? Well, when there's a chance for me to have it, yeah, I would have it if I needed to have it. I've got no issues if it's gone through the MHRA and it's signed off and I needed it in an emergency. If I was one of those people who was sat here going, I can literally do nothing because if I get this virus, I'm dead. Sure, I'd have it. I'm lucky to be as healthy as I am and I'm way down the list yet. So it'll be a long time before I need to have it or get to have it. But yeah, I will, you know, no problem at all. So, business update, vaccine update. I'll try and get another one of these posted up this week. I've got another guy. I'll say more on this another time as well, but I'm actually going to be a guest on a podcast fairly soon. And I'm talking about having somebody be a guest on my podcast reasonably soon too. That'll be interesting to get some interviews done. So hopefully not as frequent as I'd hoped, but we're up to 40 odd episodes, so that's a good call. There will be more, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. In the meantime, take care and have a great day. Cheers.